only on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Lars Larson, weekdays 6 to 9 p.m.
Who was in charge as it was being built?
Was in charge up to
at that team. Who is the individual?
Michelle Snyder is the
Michelle speaker. Snyder is the one responsible for this debacle.
Well, excuse me, Congresswoman. Michelle Snyder is not responsible for the debacle. Hold me accountable for the debacle.
Okay.
I'm responsible.
Yeah, but what does that mean? What does that mean anymore when you say, hold me responsible? I am accountable. And I'm going to make sure the problem that I helped create or is responsible for allowing to be created in the first place is fixed. You're welcome. You're good to have you back here on the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. That was Marsha Blackburn, I think, Republican Congresswoman from Tennessee, leading the questioning of Kathleen Sebelius, Secretary of Health and Human Services. I watched Noah Rothman from Mediaite last night on the Sean Hannity Show. And, hey, Noah, how about joining us here this morning on KVI? He's kind enough to make a few minutes for us. How you doing, Noah?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, you had a really good essay that caught the attention of our senior chief executive producer, Philip G. Vandervoort III. And, of course, that's on your take that what this really gets down to, everything about Obamacare gets down to, is Washington, D.C. saying, you don't know what's best for you. You don't know what's what your best interests are. We know what your best interests are. We'll substitute our judgment for yours.
Well, actually, what I'm seeing a little bit more, because it's so sensitive right now in Washington, and they're kind of walking on eggshells, what I'm seeing people saying that is the commentary class, is the pundit class, which says, yeah, you know, we kind of knew that the individual market was going to be gutted, that all these plans were going to be made invalidated by a really strict interpretation of this grandfather clause. And that's a good thing, honestly, because these plans were not comprehensive enough. They were a burden on the system because there were stealth taxes that were supporting them. And as a result, they should be eliminated. You don't know what's best for you, and good riddance. And you should trust us.
Now, who are some of those pundits saying that?
The Business Insider's Josh Barrow is among them. Sally Cohn, I've seen, has said something along these lines. John Chait has welcomed them, although he's been a little more reticent about the political ramifications of telling voters that they don't know what's good for them, and we're going to take this away for you, and you should thank us for it. So you've seen that from people who really perceive themselves to be technocratic experts in their fields. And it's not a new instinct. It's not a new impulse. In fact, it's been a feature of technocrats throughout history, and it's almost always been their undoing. It's so hubristic, and it shows such contempt for the people that you're supposed to serve that it almost always leads to a backlash. Unfortunately, it's coming from the pundit class, and the pundit class isn't appointed and doesn't get voted out. But it's an extension of what Washington is saying, most certainly, because this is coming from background briefings and people who are sympathetic to this project.
My favorite anecdote so far, and again, there are now over 2 million people who've been hit with cancellation notices, notices of skyrocketing premiums, higher deductibles, etc., is a 62-year-old fellow in North Carolina who had been paying $238 for a high deductible catastrophic health care policy. In other words, the same kind of logic for his health care policy that he probably uses for his car insurance or for his home insurance. You know, you buy insurance to, you know, prevent something major from wiping you out. And he got a notice from his insurer, it's Blue Cross Blue Shield, that his $238 policy was now $1,200 and his deductible was now $5,500. And so he says, well, enough of that. I think I'm going to go shop on the exchanges. And so he managed to get through on the exchanges, and he did find a policy comparable to his for $950. So from $238 to $950. And his conclusion is, you know what? I'm thinking that what I'll probably do is just pay the fine, which is 1% of your income, or $95, whichever is more. And then when one of us gets sick, we'll buy insurance.
Yeah, which you can do up until the open enrollment point ends, or do what everybody's been doing, which is what this law was designed to end, which is go to the emergency room when you get sick.
Yeah,
it's not going to stop. It's going to get worse.
Because he can buy the insurance policy when he gets sick, and not only do they have to issue it to him because it's a pre-existing condition, and you have to sell insurance for to people with pre-existing conditions, but Noah, you can't charge more. So he'd be paying the same amount. So the economic incentives created by the Affordable Care Act, air quotes around the word affordable, are pushing this guy from paying $238 into a risk pool into paying $230 a month into a risk pool to paying probably about $500 a year. Plus, he'll get the insurance when he really needs it, and he won't pay for any won't pay for insurance until that time.
Yeah, this is totally uncharted territory. We're talking about millions of people now who are disaffected, who in another era would be the singular focus of the news media with horrible anecdote after horrible anecdote in quick succession, and there would be marches on Washington. I can't understand why that's not happening yet, but this is only just beginning. Who knows how this is going to unfold? Millions of people have been disaffected by this law.
Here's something else for you to chew on for a moment, and that is George Bush was wrong. He was mistaken about Iraq and the issue of weapons of mass destruction. If he had them, he didn't have as many as we thought he had, and he moved them across the border to Syria, or he simply didn't have them. And yet, what was he was relying on intelligence by a CIA director who was a holdover from the Clinton era, and the Clinton administration had assured him that there were weapons of mass destruction, so Bush continued with his belief. He was mistaken, and what did we hear for 5 years thereafter? Bush lied, kids died. In other words, it suddenly became a lie. And yet here we have incontrovertible evidence that the president of the United States was not only telling people they could keep their insurance when he knew that they wouldn't be able to, but his administration was making sure they couldn't keep it by narrowly construing the grounds on which you could grandfather your policy forward.
Correct. And the mission at that time in the George W. Bush administration was by the media was to get him to admit that there had been a mistake and that he had personally failed in this episode. And the race is on now in the media to exonerate the president. Why wasn't he told? What did he know? Why was
it
being kept from him? And it's just as stark a comparison as you could possibly make.
Yeah, because every once in a while, you call it straight down the middle. You go after both sides. When you think they're out of line, and this is just a pure case of media double standards right now, where they're going out of their way to find a way to say that Obama didn't lie, that in the words of Jim Carville, he should have been more nuanced in what he said. But we ran a montage where over and over and over again he was saying without qualification or without any hesitation, if you like your policy, you get to keep it. You like your doctor, you get to keep him. That period. Don't worry about that. Don't let people say anything to the contrary.
But again, the technocratic conceit, which I wrote about in that piece, is that the lie is justified because the end is noble. And the opposition isn't really arguing in good faith anyway, because they don't like the law, they don't want people to have health insurance, and as a result, you don't have to deal with them like honest brokers. So you can justify behavior like that, in that sense, because of this end, this noble end. It is truly conceited, it's very hubristic, and it's undone many a career before, and I don't anticipate that track ending. These people are embracing a very dangerous line of thought that almost always results in a backlash.
Well, and I said when I started the show this morning, I said, if you don't have a chance to listen to the radio for the rest of the day or watch news coverage, here's what you're going to hear. You're going to hear Kathleen Sebelius blame contractors for what went wrong with the website, and you're going to hear the White House continue to blame insurance companies for people getting canceled policies or skyrocketing increases.
The president is about to go to Massachusetts, where he's going to speak from Faneuil Hall and talk about this project, subtext being, golly, this is a Republican idea too, and they kind of own it. and good luck with that one. But yeah, that's what we're going to litigate today. We're going to litigate whether or not this was really the president's idea all along. And don't you remember, Heritage Foundation had a memo in the late 90s that said they really wanted the individual mandate. Therefore, they kind of own this thing, too.
It's so kind of them to now that it's floundering, to say, oh, by the way, let me give credit where credit is really due.
Uh-huh.
Mitt Romney.
Precisely. Oh, it's absolute. There's a lot of courage there.
Noah,
striking.
Again, you can check out Noah's column at Mediaite. That's Media, I-T-E, Mediaite.com. It's great having you here. Thanks for making the time, Noah.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
You bet. That's Noah Rothman here from Mediaite. .com. Yeah, it's not going to work. I mean, I understand that they're in panic mode and they're, you know, careening around the country trying to say, you know, it's the insurance company's fault, it's the contractor's fault, it's the Republicans' fault. There was a 1989 paper, the Heritage Foundation, calling for an individual mandate, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not going to work. People know whose baby this is. After all, just a few weeks ago, didn't the Republicans give them a chance to pull back the individual mandate for a year? And they were told in harsh, uncompromising, unflattering terms, absolutely not, no way. And they were willing to keep the government shut down rather than have a one-year delay in the individual mandate. There's absolutely no doubt who owns this one. The president, and he pulled his party along.